Hello. Hello. I can't see anything. Hold on a second. Okay, so that really wasn't snow falling today. Those were little white petals, little white flower petals. I'm doing like little Jedi mind trick on us, all right? Those weren't snow. Those were petals, spring petals. Thank you for sitting there, Pastor. I love it. Okay, well, so here's the thing. I was talking with Pastor Roger and Heather about the fifth Sunday, and they said, hey, why don't you consider doing that? And I said, okay. And as soon as I said that, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he said, this title, What It Will Take to Birth the Next Generation. And I'm like, well, I like that title, you know. And I thought it was all about a next-gen ministry kind of thing, and that's where I was going to go on. But that's not what the Lord said. Before he even left the building, he spoke to me, and he said, it's not what you think. Now, I love when God does that, because then I go on the quest. I go on the search. He's like, it's not what you think. I'm like, okay. Oh, it's a puzzle. And so I said, well, what is it? And he said, everybody in here is the next generation for somebody. No matter how old you are, or how young you are the next generation for somebody. And so what the Lord wants to say today is, what will it take to birth this next generation into the new season? Because I don't know if you know it or not, but we're in a new season. And he told me this beginning of March. So March comes in like a lamb, goes out like a lion, in like a lamb, whatever, you know? In the spirit, in March, something shifted for me, and I can't tell you what happened. All I know is he came in like the Lion of Judah and the Lamb of God. He came in both ways. He came, Lion of Judah, Lamb of God. And so things started shifting for me in March, and this is the message today, is what will it take for us, the next generation, to be birthed into the new season that God has for us? I want to read a scripture, but before I do, anytime you're birthing greatness, there's definitely some opposition, right? It's not an easy thing to birth kingdom things, by no means. And so in the Bible, we can look at when Moses was born. And when Moses was born, there was a great slaughter of his infanticide, you know, great slaughter of little children. When Jesus was born, an entire generation of male children in that region were annihilated. I want to talk today about what happened when Benjamin was born. And we're going to look at Genesis 35:16. I'm doing this whole thing old school. You're not going to see any scriptures coming up on there. I mean, I almost brought a felt board, but I didn't. So I'm old schooling it. Genesis 35:16. Then they journeyed from Bethel, and when they were but a little distance to go to Ephrath. Okay, Ephrath is like Bethlehem. Then they journeyed from Bethel, and when they were but a little distance to Ephrath, they're in transition. They're going from Bethel to Ephrath, and they were just a little far off, just a little bit. Now it came to pass when they were just a little ways away, when Rachel labored in childbirth, and it was hard labor. So they just have a little distance to go, and Rachel's laboring in childbirth, and it was hard labor. Now it came to pass when she was in hard labor that the midwife said to her, "Do not fear, you will also have this son." And so it was, as her soul was departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin. Rachel names him Benoni, which means son of sorrow. But Jacob names him Benjamin, which means God, may my God prevail, or God prevails, because that's what he named him. Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry. He didn't name him. He named him Benjamin because it's son of my right hand, sorry, son of my honor. So what happens is Jacob names him Benjamin for two reasons, and some of them are pretty obvious. One, he did not want to memorialize that moment, the moment where he lost his wife. He didn't want to memorialize it, and every time he calls his name, he's remembering, which mainly means he's stuck now in grief. Because every time he names the name, there he is. We're stuck there. The second reason that he named him Benjamin was because he didn't want his son to walk around with the name of sorrow, that everywhere I go, I just bring sorrow, you know? Like if you're invited over for dinner and you're like, yeah, who's all going to be there? Oh, Jimmy, Joey, you know, Beth, sorrow. I'm like, ooh, I'm not so hungry. I think I'm going to go to the dentist. Never mind. I'm going to go see Dr. John. I'm going to have a root canal. You know, I don't want to do that. Oh, Lord, I pray, prophesy right now that I do not need a root canal. In Jesus' name. So it's interesting because when you're in transition and you're birthing something of greatness, it's hard labor. It's heavy. You're carrying a heaviness. It's hard labor and you're birthing something. And some of us can spiritually die in the process. And so we can question Rachel's motherly instincts. Like, what kind of mother would name her kid Sorrow? Or at least we can question that she's not very good at picking out baby names. So you might not want to call her and ask her for any baby names. But it's in her humanity that she's crying out of a place of pain. And she declares into her future that this is sorrow. She declares into my marriage, this is sorrow, say. What are you declaring? So she's declaring that. And you know what Jacob does? He covers her. He covers her. He covers her and says, Benjamin. No, not sorrow. Son of honor. Son of honor. Son of my right hand. And so I felt like the point that the Lord wanted me to make in this next season is we can't identify ourselves with the old. This next season, we cannot do that. This next season, we cannot declare to our future whatever we're declaring in this new season. It has to be different. It has to be that we're declaring the positive. We're not cursing our marriage. We're not cursing our parents. We're declaring something in this next season. And so we're a new generation. You know, Jacob could have agreed with her because it was pretty tragic. He could have stopped it all and agreed with her. If you look at a few verses ahead, Jacob has this moment with God in Bethel, and God reminds him. He reminds him, he said, I just want to remind you, because there was some stuff that was going on prior to that, and they were moving, they were transitioning. I just want to remind you, as you're going into transition, that you are no longer Jacob, but you are Israel. And that's where I got that mixed up with the prevail, because Israel, Jacob means deceiver, but Israel means God prevails, my God prevails. So he was reminding him of that. And then he also says to him, be fruitful and multiply. He commands him, be fruitful and multiply, because kings are going to come from you, nations are going to come from you, and then they transition, and Rachel goes into hard labor and passes. So Jacob covers because he's got to rise up. He's got to rise up in this next season. So here's who we are. God wants to cover everything that we've said, everything that we've declared. No condemnation. It's a new season. It's a new season. In 1 Peter 2:9, it says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen. Amanda, will you come up for a minute, babe, and take that off for me? I love you, Amanda. You're the best. She is the best. In order to birth us into this next season, there's one more point. I have 3 points. The first one was what you're declaring, what you're speaking. We can't go into this new season speaking the old stuff. It's a new season. The second point I wanted to make is, in order for us, this next generation, to be birthed into the new season, it's gonna cost something. It's going to cost your time. You know, and I have to be bold in saying that because there was part of me that wanted to kind of try to water that down. But there is no way to water that down. It's going to cost you your time. And here's where Jesus came into my life in March as the Lion of Judah. And he challenged me because what was happening is, and when I'm talking about your time, I'm not saying you can't take a nap on Sunday. In fact, I command you, go home today and take a nap. Go take a nap. I'm not saying you can't have a Sabbath, you can't have a vacation. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, what are you holding back that God has given you? And here's how the Lord showed it to me. He showed it to me that basically I had set up, and Nick, you're like this because you're a business guy. I set up this kind of risk management philosophy in my mind that, okay, I work 40 hours, I'm raising a family, I'm over this department, I'm over this department, and I'm taking some college courses. So basically my answer to do anything is no. I'm just going to play it safe, and it's just no. Never prayed, never considered, no, I know, because look at all that stuff I'm doing. But what ended up happening is I became, I wasn't saying no to worldly things. I didn't tell my boss I couldn't go to the meeting. I didn't tell my daughter I wasn't going to make her dinner. I said no to kingdom things. And that's when I realized, looking back, that it's an attack. Because why am I not saying no to worldly things? It's the kingdom of God, those things I'm saying no to. So the Lord showed me that I'm becoming like stagnant water. Okay, now stagnant water, basically, the definition of stagnant water is there's no flow. Nothing's going in, nothing's going out. It actually says that it's been sitting for a really long time. And I think in the body of Christ, there's a lot of us that have been sitting for a really long time. And what happens with stagnant water is parasites begin to grow. And if it sits long enough, mosquitoes will come around it. And if it sits for a really long time, it'll start to produce disease. Lyme's disease. Malaria comes from stagnant water. Legionnaire's disease comes from stagnant water. Eventually, it'll be a giant cesspool. And when we're stagnant in the spirit, that's where apathy grows. That's a breeding ground for apathy. That's a breeding ground for spiritual disease that you infest yourself and others. So here's with the Lord, the scripture that the Lord gave me. Did I give the scripture yet? Okay. Luke's, I'm in the zone. I'm all hyped up on caffeine right now. It's crazy. I'm sorry. Squirrel. Luke 6, verse 38. Give and it will be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over will I put into your bosom. For the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. That's where God got me right there. The same measure that you use. But, Lord, that's just a financial scripture. No, it's not. Open it up and check out the verses prior to that. It has nothing. It does have everything to do with financial blessing because it's the law of reciprocity. But he's not even talking about that at the time. We use it for the finances because it's the principle. So anytime we give, he pours back. But prior to that, you know what he's talking about? Your care for people. He's talking about loving your enemy, going the extra mile, lend not expecting anything back. It's all about people. So the Lord started showing me that what I was doing was I had my measuring cup out right here, measuring cup. And I was measuring everything that I was doing, okay? This will be me and you or whoever. And I was just kind of measuring because, you know, it's stagnant. If there's nothing going in, there's nothing going out. I mean, if you're not going out, then he can't pour in. So, but it's okay because I was measuring. And see, God has deposited something in all of us. This is a ping pong ball because people are going to be like, what is she holding? Why is it orange? I could have picked the white one, but I picked this one because I thought, oh, it's like a little fire God. So don't say God's not deposited something in you because he has. We all, and then people get hung up on their gifts, their calling, and you're all called. We're all called to the reconciliation, the ministry of reconciliation, where all of us are called. And your gifting is often interesting because it's the very thing you're really naturally good at is what you're gifted in. You don't think it's a gift because it comes so natural to you. You think everybody has this gift. And I'm telling you, they don't. They don't have the gift. And I'm not talking if you can ride a unicycle and juggle. Okay? However, if you can, call me because we've got a great vacation Bible school you can do. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about what did God deposit in you? Could it be that you're a listener, an encourager? I don't even want to define it for you because right now the Holy Spirit's defining it for you. I don't want to limit you. So what did he deposit in you? Okay, it's going to bounce. Ooh. In this next season, the Lord wants to let the thing that he deposited in you rise. It needs to rise. You need to rise to the occasion, so to speak. The very thing, I was living below my limits, bottom of the barrel, a little bit of a bottom feeder for a while. And the whole vacuum was filled with apathy, lack of care. I wasn't rising. This next season, now that was fine in January and February. It was even fine in December. But when March hit, everything changed. Everything changed. And he said, you're going to measure it. All right, now I got to be careful, Lord, because I got a lot going on. I got to study. Eden's probably going to want me to make her a pizza or something. I don't know. I'm a busy girl. That's all I'm giving right there. And that's all I'm getting. Because I'm measuring it. I'm totally focused on holding back. Got to be careful. I'm not too tired. Because that's a big thing God's calling me to, and I have no idea how I'm going to be able to pull that off. Well, of course, you're not going to be able to pull it off because you need to be poured out so he can pour in him. So I was living way down here, and then finally I said, you know what, Amanda, just take this. I don't want to measure my life anymore. I don't want to measure my time. I don't want to measure things. I just want to pour myself out. You remember you preached a message once, being spent for Jesus. Well, we're in a new season, and we have to be spent for Jesus and not worry about what our time is. Not worry about it. Let's pour ourselves out so that we can rise. The thing he deposited in you can rise to the surface of all that he has for you. You know, I'm not a worship pastor at all. But you know, when I go to kids camp, sometimes I help lead worship. Is that the craziest thing? Because I'm being poured out and he ends up giving me gifts I didn't even know I had. Do I ever lead worship here? No, I never want to. Trust me, you don't want me to. But when I'm there, this crazy anointing comes because I've sat under my Father in the Spirit and it's been imparted in me and God deposited in me, but I didn't know it was even in there until it had to rise to the surface. I'm like, wow, that was awesome. No wonder you like to worship. That was awesome. So this next season, it's going to cost us, this next generation, our time.
Yes, God.
Amen. No more stagnant. All right, then it comes to my third point. No, I'm doing good. Oh, I might just hang out. All right, so yes. Oh, my second point is, it's going to cost you your time. I tried to figure out a pretty way to say that and a kind way to say that, but there ain't no way of saying that. And here's another point. This new season will require unmeasurable giving of yourself so that the real you and what God has deposited in you will rise to the surface. So let's put away our measuring cup. Let's just put it away. Let's be all in. And my next point is about being all in. And I'm going to read a story about a guy. And I used to bypass this scripture because it's about the rich young ruler. And I used to, you ever read scriptures and you don't really like what it says? So you kind of like, blah, 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 blah. Okay, cool. I can do that and I can do that. I'm not doing that. And you kind of like play with your mind, kind of pretend like you didn't read that part. Or you're like, oh, that's wrong. I'm going to go to another scripture. You know, that's not how it was interpreted. So anyway, the Lord showed me a lot about him that I didn't see before. And so I'm going to go with that. Here we go. Mark 10, verse 17. Now, I'm going really fast, aren't I? Thanks. I told you I'm hyped up on caffeine. Now, as he was going out on the road. Now, prior to this, Jesus was having the moment where he was ministering to the children. You know, when the disciples were like, wait, this guy's way too busy for your kid. Get your baby out of here. And Jesus is like, no, let him come. So that was like mind blowing because all of a sudden he's got, you know, babies drooling on him and stuff like that. And he was all cool with it. Okay. So he's leaving from that moment. Now he's out on the road. And this guy comes running to him. He says, now as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him and asked him, good teacher, what shall I do that I might have eternal life? So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments? Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father. Honor your mother. And he answered to him, teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth. Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, one thing you lack. Go and sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come and take up your cross and follow me. But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know a lot about this guy, but I find out a ton about him by reading this. I don't know a lot about him other than he's young and he's rich, and all the young single ladies said, yeah. What's his name? What's his Facebook status? Is he on Christian Mingle? So he's young and he's rich, but I find out a ton about him by the way that Jesus interacts with him. He interacts with him in a really unusual way, more than any time I've ever seen this. And so I don't know if you've ever, when I was in real estate, you kind of had to do this kind of approach to people when you saw them. You're like, hey, good sir, how you doing? Hey, great suit guy. You know, you had to be like all up and businesslike and real flattery and charming. And that's kind of how he comes off to Jesus, like, good teacher. And then Jesus is like, why you call me good? Oh, I hate that. He's like, why you call me good? Like, so he's going to impress him. And Jesus immediately corrects him. You ever have those moments where you're kind of like, ooh, I just got off on the wrong foot. And then Jesus, and he asked Jesus the question. And then Jesus starts listing goals or the law. So it kind of makes me think about him that he might have been kind of a type A personality. That we know two things about him. He was rich and he was young. Young people have a ton of zeal. But he had to be able to manage money. He either inherited money or he's a self-made guy. But he has to learn how to manage things and attain things. And for people that are like a type A temperament, they're used to goals. They like goals. So Jesus just interacts with him right on the goals and starts listing the law. He's never done that. I don't believe anywhere has he talked to someone. Well, did you keep the commandments, Terry? Did you do this? And here's the thing. The guy says, the rich young ruler says, yeah, I've done that ever since I was young. My whole life I've done it. Kept every one of them. Now, see, if I were Jesus, I'd be like, come on. Seriously? Give me a break. You mean when your mother and father told you to take out the trash, little Gary, you just ran and took it out? You never rolled your eyes? You never spoke under your breath about anything? Come on. Now, if I were Jesus, I just would have shut it down right there. Like, wait a minute. You're saying you're sinless. But he doesn't. He says he looked at him and he loved him. And some of the best conversations I've ever had is when someone's loved me enough to speak the truth. They hurt. They're not fun. And the whole time you're telling yourself, okay, don't be defensive. Don't be defensive. Don't defend yourself. You know they're right. You know this is from the Lord because he's been trying to tell you, but you're missing it, sister. So he's going to talk through her. Or he's going to talk through him. And we're going to get this thing figured out because I love you. Jesus loved him enough. And here's the thing. He said, one thing you lack. That would have got me right there because I'm a goal person. And I wouldn't have liked the fact that he said, oh, yeah, one thing you lack. I'd be like, oh, I'd be listening because I want to know what the one thing is because I want to check it off my checklist. What's the one thing I lack? You better tell me right now because I need to go figure that out and check it off. He says, one thing you lack. Go and sell everything that you have and give it to the poor and you will have treasure in heaven. All he heard was go and sell everything you have and give it to the poor. He missed that there were treasure in heaven. He was like, well, my flat screen TV, my Xbox, my Pampered Chef, my Tupperware, my iPhone, my iPad. Yeah, everything. And give it to the poor. And I have treasure. Now that's where he missed it. He missed the treasure. He just missed it. This guy missed, his story ended right there. He had a missed opportunity. We have no idea what he would have done for the kingdom of God. Jesus didn't tell everybody to follow him. Remember there were guys that were healed and they'd be like, oh, I want to go with you. He's like, no, you stay. Go back to your city. Go show yourself to your priest. Go to your church. Go testify. Go witness for me in your city. Not this guy. He said, you come follow me because I have treasure. He also told him that he was going to follow him, pick up his cross. And, you know, he didn't say, hey, follow me, pick up your party horn and your little streamers because we're going to go have a party. He said, no, pick up your cross and follow me. But he talked about the treasure, and this guy missed the opportunity. In this next season, we have to be all in. We want our story to continue. We want to be all in to what God all has. If you're not all in, you're all out. There is no middle ground. I would lie if I wish I could say that there was middle ground because that would be nice for me. That would be easy. That'd be safe. There is no middle ground. You're either all in or you're all out. It's like being on a river embankment and you see this great raging river and there's jagged rocks and there's waterfall and there's scary stuff. I don't know what else is in there. Piranhas. And you're on the embankment. I feel pretty safe there. But if Jesus is in the middle of that rapid, if he's in the middle of the river, I'm probably in the least safe place around. I want to be where he is. Knowing that he's got a life raft, that he's well able to help us navigate through troubled waters, that's where I need to be. You're either all in or you're all out. There's no middle ground. I try to say there is, but there's none. So this next season, the Lord is saying, what is the one thing? See, with the rich young ruler, it was just one thing. It was one big thing. But it was really just one thing. What's the one thing that's keeping you from being all in? Is it a relationship? What's the one thing that you need to walk away from? Is it a relationship? Is it an addiction? Wherever your time is, that's your addiction. If you play endless hours of video games, that's an addiction. Do you realize that addiction is starting so young? It starts so young. I have 4-year-old little kids that cry when they get on the bus because they have to leave their Xbox. Come on. Come on. It's molding their mind. They know more about some kind of Call of Duty than they know how to write their own name to go to kindergarten. It's an addiction. It's an addiction. I'm going to say it again. It's an addiction. And we candy coat. Oh, they're just playing their game. They're out of my hair. No. It's okay to play stuff. I'm not against it or anything like that. I'm just saying if where your time is, if you're 8 hours doing that, it's an addiction. If you're 8 hours, you know, watching TV, it's an addiction. I mean, you're either all in or you're all out. What's the one thing you're holding on to? When I was praying about this, I felt really strong about this one part. And it's about your money, your tithe. And I had a great amount of compassion when I was praying because I understand that. I understand wanting to hold on. When you don't have a lot, you want to hold on to the little that you do have. And recently, I have snow days. I don't really get paid for snow days because of the preschool teaching program that I'm in. And so I wrote some of my tithe with a check. This was like, I don't remember, a couple months ago. And then the rest of it was cash. It's like $50. I stuck it in my little nightstand. Well, two Sundays went by, and I kept forgetting to put it in there. But I wasn't withholding. I just was forgetting. Trust me, I've learned. Yeah, no. If you want to lose every little bit you have, go ahead and withhold. Well, just get out your checkbook, your credit card. Just give it to the... Because he is the father of all lies, so he's going to trick you into not giving it. And the second thing is he's here to kill, steal, and destroy. He'll wipe you out in a heartbeat. One time I did that a long time ago. I think it was like $800 or something. I can't even tell you where that money went. It went like, oh, it's like water coming out of my hands. Gone. Poof. Quicker than lightning. So I had this $50. I stuck it in a little drawer. And 3 weeks went by. And on that Friday of the kind of third Sunday, I was like, I could get the money in there. Now it would be withholding because now I know about it. And I thought, well, that's $50. You can get some gas and then lose everything. I just was talking to myself about it. And I just want to make sure I'm still on track, you know, like I'm still tithing. So I really knew something was attached to that 50. And I felt like the Lord reminding myself and he was reminding me, get it in. Well, it was really interesting. That Saturday I had a little envelope. I wrote my name on it, my little dates. I mean, I filled the thing out completely. I never do that. I'm usually like writing my check, you know, and the basket's going and I'm like trying to put my money in. Not that day. That day it was important. It's always important, but for some reason he was speaking to me, don't hold it back. You got to get that thing in right now, today. So I was ready. I'm waiting for them, you know, Gory to come around. I stuck it in there. Within 2 hours, less than 2 hours, I put 50 in. Less than 2 hours, I got a check for $500. Less than 2 hours, I put the 50 in because I'm not in the stock exchange. I'm in his exchange. I'm in the exchange of the kingdom. And so if that's the one thing you're holding back, you got to break that today because you'll get wiped out. And in this next season, we got to be all in. All in with our finances, all in with our time, all in. When the Lord started speaking this message to me, he started challenging me, like I said. It was about the Lion of Judah came and started talking to me about my time. And then he said, I was praying. It was like a 3-day prayer thing. Because there was a job opportunity that came up. And like I said, I don't get paid for snow days. Well, we had a lot of those, right? I really wasn't in fear about it because I've worked through some of that. But I was in, am I doing the responsible thing here? And a job opportunity came up. So I crunched the numbers for 3 days. I had sleepless nights. I think I had everybody in here praying. Everybody I saw pray for me. You know why? Because I don't trust myself. I don't trust myself. I need God's help that I don't make mistakes because I'm trying to take care of myself or my own resources, so to speak. So the Lord spoke to me so sweet about it. And he said, it was $8,000 to $10,000 more. I crunched the numbers, everything. And finally, on the second day, not even the third day, you know, usually the whole third day thing, it was like the second day. He spoke to me and he said, Laurie, can you just believe me for more? Like a wave of peace came. Can you just go all in? Can you just believe me for more? And then this peace came that I hadn't had for days. And then that same day, the day after that, he started speaking to me about my time. And I mean, I repented. It was a word of wisdom. I couldn't identify what was causing my apathy. I couldn't identify that I was an empty cylinder. But a word of wisdom from the Lord and just him speaking to me, I dropped to my knees. I started to repent. And he said, Laurie, I need you to be all in. And I said, I'm all in, Lord. He said it again. I need you to be all in. And I said, I'm all in, Lord. I need you to be all in. And I said, I'm all in, Lord. And every time I felt myself kind of waver, I just said, I'm all in. I'm all in, I'm all in, I'm all in. I got home that day and I went upstairs to Eden's room, and on her bed she's got this book and it says all in. So obviously I'm onto something, right? I grab the book, I run down the side, where'd you get this book? I said, the Lord's been speaking to this word all day, all in. She's like, Emmy gave it to me. I said, can I read it? I'll give it right back. And she said, yeah, and I never gave it back. Sorry, babe. I never gave it back. But that's where we're at. In this next season of our lives, this next season, we have to be all in. And I want to quote something from the book by Mark Batterson. I want to quote this. When did we start believing that God wants to send us to safe places to do safe things? Jesus didn't die to keep us safe. He died to make us dangerous, spiritually dangerous. That's what he's called us to do. And so in this next season, are you like Rachel and you've just given up? You're spiritually dying. You're going through some hard labor. We're in transition, but I'm telling you, we're coming out. We're going to the destination. If that's you and you've declared things, the Father wants to cover you today. He wants to cover you now. If you are the one that's been living below the limits, come on. Pour yourself out. Give of yourself. You have gifts you don't even know of. You have gifts you don't even know of. Dave, you have gifts you don't even know of. When I said that, I felt that for you. You have gifts that the body of Christ needs that we haven't even seen yet. You have things deposited within you. You've been through some stuff. You didn't go through that for nothing. You have stuff deposited in you. John and Kathy, you have stuff deposited in you that we need. The body of Christ needs it. We have to make a decision as this next generation. In order to be birthed into our new season, we have to be all in. All in. What do you need to walk away from? What do you need to run to? If you don't know Jesus, I'm not even going to do that. Ask him into your heart. No, you know, it's not your heart. It's your life. I stopped doing that at kids' camps. So I just ask Jesus in your heart. No, don't, it's not your heart. It's your whole life. I'm not going to play a game with you. It's your whole life. So with little kids, I just give it to them straight. They can handle it. Really, they don't have baby Holy Spirits. They can handle the truth. I'm not asking. He's not asking for just your heart. It's your life. So Father God, I'm just going to pray right now, Lord, that you begin to highlight those areas. It might be all three of those areas, Lord, but we're going to say, just like I did on my knees, Lord God, that I'm all in. I'm all in, Lord Jesus. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know. I'm not even going to try to figure it out. I'm just saying today, in the name of Jesus, that I'm all in. I want to be birthed into this new season. The old is done. It's over. Listen, he's going somewhere and moving. You're either going to get in or you're going to miss it like the rich young ruler. He missed the opportunity. That can happen. I'm not playing. That can happen. You can miss. He's going somewhere. I want to get on the raft and go with him. Heck yeah, that's scary. I'm closing my eyes if I have to do it. Oh, I see a waterfall. Oh my gosh. But I'm all in, Lord. In Jesus' name.
What is that one thing? What is that? What is God saying to you in the midst of this? This is a prophetic word for our church. This is a word that the Holy Spirit wants to break. There's some of you that you've been tempted with the apathy, turning to other things in the world, turning to things that do not satisfy. And the Lord wants to have your heart all in again. Let's lift our hearts to him. Let's put your heart in a state of prayer. Expectancy. Holy Spirit, come and speak. Come and speak and liberate, I pray. Come and liberate and loose people from things that have been confusions and clouds and heavinesses and things that want to block the way, things that want to confound or clutter. Old declarations. Lord, you're putting the finger right on that. Things that were said. You guys, there's a spirit of repentance already coming into our hearts. Would you just open up your heart and say, Lord, what I've declared in the past, I'm ceasing that now. I want the new things that you want to declare. Just as Larry Bazette said to us last week when Tom Hanks and Saving Private Ryan, they finally made it through the beach. And they got up there and he had the little mirror and they're looking up at the pillbox. And these soldiers didn't get killed on the beach. They survived. They survived. Some of you feel like you said, we're in like you survived something. But now, as Tom Hanks' character said in the movie, okay, now let's get in the war. Now let's get in the war. We got to get in the war now. Spirit of God, come. I pray, revive right now. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you. Let's praise him right now. Praise you, Jesus. Stir something up inside of your spirit. Praise you, Lord. Nothing short-lived, but something that sets a direction. There's some of you going through different kinds of challenges. The Lord reminded me when I got up the other morning about Larry Titus, how he went through all those heart things, talking to Connor and stuff as a cardiologist, and he had a defibrillation kind of a thing. He had to deal with his heart. He's a father in the faith to nations. He went through a severe, severe physical challenge for months and months and months. Months went by, months went by, months went by. He was almost debilitated by it. And then the healing came. And the Lord was showing me that. You're going through a season and it feels debilitating. It feels debilitating. There's challenges. There's all kinds of things. But look at Larry now. Look at him. And God just picked him up and suddenly opened up the nation of Brazil. And he's got energy like crazy. And the Lord's saying, I'm going to pour energy in you. Look at Abraham. Look at Abraham. His body would not even produce a sperm. His wife's body didn't have any egg. And God said, I'm going to do something that you can't do. It's a new season. And I'm going to put into you the ability to reproduce like you've never. And when he died, even after Sarah died and his son had grown, he still remarried and had more kids. When God does it, it's done. And there's something to set that direction. Spirit of God, move in us. Set something in. Well, I'm saying this, I feel like there's a call, a calling to rise up, and you know what to get out of your life, as Lori so eloquently put. There's things to say, that's not what I'm going to be about anymore. And need fellowship in the light. This is a new day. It's a new season, guys. Hallelujah.
Honey, has an act of faith. Could we just stand as a rising now in the name of Jesus? As an act of faith, you're standing on your feet is saying, I'm rising to a new occasion in Jesus' name. And how many can say, this was a timely word for me in Jesus' name? Thank you, Lord. Amen. Are you not just, no patronizing here. Is this true? Amen. Amen. Well, I'm, thank you, Pastor Lori.
I want to interrupt you here. I want us to, as I was sitting over there, go to the chorus of Behold Your Face. I want us to jump on this. Are we on here? And I'm seeking after the one who sought me, holding on to the one who caught me, hungering for the one who brought me into love's embrace. I want to know the one who knows me. I want to catch a glimpse of glory. I want to look beyond your hand and behold your face. I'm seeking after the one who sought me, holding on to the one who caught me, hungering for the one who brought me into love's embrace. I want to know the one who knows me. I want to catch a glimpse of glory. I want to look beyond your hand and behold your face. Once again, and I'm seeking after the one who sought me, holding on to the one who caught me, hungering for the one who brought me into love's embrace. I want to know the one who knows me, want to catch a glimpse of glory, want to look beyond your hand and behold your face. Let's do that and applaud the Lord and say, my heart is all in. My heart is all in. My heart is all in. The word Shabbat is the word for shout. It's also a word for praise. And it's the one that's used in the scriptures when it says that one generation will praise thy works to the next generation. There's something to rise up and say, I'm going to be. Let me just go ahead and tell you, 5 minutes after you're in heaven, you're going to wish you'd done a whole lot more. Just five minutes. You go, why didn't I sell out? Why didn't I sell out? Why didn't I sell out? Why? And there's a release of the Spirit of God to do a new thing. It doesn't matter that you don't let the moment define you. Let's let the proclamation of the truth of this new season define us, right? And the Lord is speaking to hearts. Hallelujah. One more thing, one more turn. And I'm seeking after the
calling
one
for the spirit of revival now over hearts. Revive. Be revived in Jesus' name. The spirit of revival fall on this house in Jesus' name. Revive. 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 Be revived again. Let your heart be revived in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Behold your face. And I'm seeking after the one who sought me.
Revive me, Lord. Revive me, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Revive my heart, O Lord. Revive my life, O Lord. In Jesus' name.
Want to catch the glimpse of glory. Want to look beyond your hand. Behold your face.
Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Glory, glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Could I have those who are ministering to come to the platform, please, now? And in Jesus' name, you're not going to believe most. This is just such a setup from God. Those of you who are here last week, who are in lead, who are there, you know you've been asked to read this book, All In, by Mark Batterson, and many of you already have it. Would you believe I have 5 copies left? If you want one, they're $5. You can see Amanda after the service. I only have 5 copies left. Most of you already have it, who are part of the ongoing part of this fellowship. Beloved, you are one decision away from a totally different life. God has been speaking to Pastor Roger and I, and we brought this book. Actually, we didn't just bring it. It's going on all over Christendom. This is not just happening in our little congregation. God is reviving the church. It's as though, how many of you watch sci-fi movies? I'm not admitting that I do. Okay, but you know how there are other planets out there? It's like we're living on one planet in the 20th century, and then all of a sudden we arrived in a whole different planet in the 21st century, and I think the church has been in shock. What happened? And I think it knocked the wind. That's the picture I saw. It knocked the wind out of us. Everything looks different. I mean, we used to wear suits and ties to church. So we eased into maybe not doing that. I mean, it doesn't even look like that anymore. Forget just what you wear. It's everything. How do we relate in this whole different planet we live on called the 21st century with technology and everything? And God is preparing the church. But it knocked us. Those of us who've been around, if it didn't knock you, then you weren't there to begin with. Sorry. If it didn't knock you and you questioned, what am I doing? How do I manage? I don't feel the same way as I used to feel. Then you didn't even really, I questioned if you really had a relationship, a deep relationship with the Lord. It's knocked me for a loop. But we're rising. Don't back off. Don't go hide under the pew. Say, what can I do, Lord? What can I do? What can I do to serve you? How can I serve you? Show me how to be a witness. come. Pastor Roger and I are learning a whole new way, and we're going to share it with you. We are going to be viable in this next move of God as a church. We are going to have a mission above all missions. Boy, I'm just... whew. I don't know what it looks like, but you need to be all in with us in your own life. Because if not, even that which you have will be taken away from you. Pastor Lori, thank you.
Yes,
while you were speaking, now there's evidence of a young woman. I know her past. There's an evidence of a young woman who sold out over and over. Every time it was hard, sold out over and over. Now look at the anointing that's coming on her life. And that's you. That's all of you out there. You all have it. In one way or another, it may not be platformed like this, but it's with the children, it's with the youth. Ushers, I love you. I don't know every usher in this building, how they stand as guardians of the doors of this place. I thank you for that. Everywhere, hospitality. Thank you. Thank you for serving us hospitality, for caring enough that we would have precious times of fellowship together. How rich they are. Intercessors. Faithful. Faithful, faithful, faithful to pray. Thank you, Pastor, for laboring in the Word. Musicians who serve with your gifts. But like she said, I loved it. You didn't downstairs. You didn't put the second ball in. I went, oh, yeah, I'm ready. I don't want to just be an administrator. I got something in there somewhere different. Amen. I'm all in. Oh. Okay, Bill. Now, hang on, John. I'll hold the mic. You got 30 seconds.
All right. I never understood how I'm angry. I'm really angry. I thought I was angry at God, but I'm angry at the devil for what he's done is he's taken our culture and he's trying to teach our kids that it's okay to live their lives in a way that's not pleasing to God. It's okay. MTV tells you, you can live with your girlfriend. You can have children out of wedlock. You can let John Byers and everybody else that works here raise my kids. Okay, all that. Okay. I never understood how that anger related to how my wife has served me for 35 years. It's my time to serve her in her ministry. And I don't know what that means, but I'm all into it.
Well, John, not just serving her in her ministry. What about your ministry? You have a ministry, John. We all have a ministry. I have never, ever gone anywhere to a dentist that you aren't the most loving, kind person and how you serve. And that's a ministry, John. That's a ministry. It's a marketplace ministry. And it's a gift that God gave you.
Hey,
in
honey.
Jesus' name.
I actually had a word for he and Kathy, but I didn't give it because I just was trying to be careful not to draw a lot of attention to a lot of different things. So I just want to pray for you. Lord, the things that are deposited within John that he hasn't even seen them to the fullness yet will begin to rise to the surface because he's willing to be poured out and willing to say, I'm all in. And so, Lord, I ask for release of the ministry call that you have on both of them. It's not her, John, it's you. It's both of you. It's a partnership. The Lord wants to partner with the three of you partnering for the kingdom of God. So we break off the mindset that would say it's Kathy's ministry. We break off the mindset that limits you and keeps you at the bottom of the barrel. And the Lord would say, rise up, son, and take the mantle that I place upon you. It's the cloak, both of you, not just her, not just you, both of you. Lord, I ask for the Holy Spirit cloak to fall upon them now in the name of Jesus.
I want to ask if you would, if you're husband and wife, go ahead and take hands together. Let's pray that same thing over them. Let that.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Because it's.
Thank you,
picture.
Jesus.
The Lord quickened me and said,
amen.
A picture of other relationships.
Amen. Amen. If you're single, put your hands straight up in the air. Put your hands straight up in the air if you're single. Both hands, not one hand, both hands. Come on. Don't do it if you don't want to. I'm not making you do anything. But if you're single, put your hands straight up. If you're married, the Lord's going to cloak you right now in the name of Jesus. I pray for every marriage in this room, every marriage in this place, that the thing that the Lord has deposited in you, cover them, Lord. Cloak them. Jim, rise up. Be all in, man. We break off fear off your life. Your wife's not anointed. You're anointed with her. It's a cloak. It's both of you. Where's your wife? Well, Lord, right now we pray for Karen and Gary. Let me know when she shows up. Father God, right now, over Ted and Ann, the cloak that you had them walking hand in hand for a long time, and I thank you, the thing that you deposited in them, let it rise to the surface. The thing that you deposited in Ed and Debbie, let it rise to the surface in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, for Nick and Emmy. New season. New season. You thought you were all in before? You're way all in. You're over your head all in. You're under submerged all in. Oh, you've burnt the bridge. The ship has gone down. You're all in. Hallelujah. I thank you for the generations that will come from them. I thank you that the ministry and the nations that will come for them. I thank you that as they lay down their life, it's been rough. It's been rough. They've been like Rachel, and they wanted to declare death over the ministry, death over their future. We speak life right now in the name of Jesus. We cut off every harassment. Hold on to the rapids. Get in the lifeboat. Close your eyes if you have to, but hold on tight because you're all in. No more. Lord, I pray for Karen and Gary right now in the name of Jesus, a release. I thank you that Gary's been covering his wife for a long, long time. I ask for a release of finances into their life. Lord, that this general of God would rise up and begin to do things that he never dreamed he would ever do. I claim his entire family and all of his generations. Put your hands straight up. His entire family right now, as you stand like a general for war, all of your generations, your children's children's children, in the name of Jesus. If you're single, I pray for you right now that the Spirit of God would cover you. Clothe you. You are not lacking anything. The spirit of lack off of relationships, we just bind that lie right now in the name of Jesus and release you to the fullness of your destiny. In Jesus' name, for spouses that are lost, spouses that are not, Rose, in the name of Jesus, you're covered, girl. You're covered. I'm not going to try to mask it. I'm talking about you. Right now, Lord, I pray for Rose. Lord, you're not alone. You're so far from alone, girl. He is with you. And so I pray right now for the things that Rose is contending for, that though she doesn't understand, and though it's rough, troubled waters, you're navigating Rose through it. And I thank you that as she remains faithful, Lord, she too will see legacy and children's children come into the kingdom of God. Rose, don't waver. You've been wavering. You've been almost knocked off your horse. Someone needs to put their hands on her. Right now, in the name of Jesus, the spirit of encouragement, the spirit of strength. Pastor Ray and Pastor, someone put their hands on Rose. Rose, receive it right now in the name of Jesus. A new strength, a new season, Rose. Declare your future. Don't let the enemy tell you to lie about it. Don't let the enemy have you speak about it, Rose. Declare it. New season right now, refreshing coming on her. You look different right now, Rose. Receive it. A whole new mantle is coming on your life to do this. In the name of Jesus.
Yes, yes, yes. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands before the Lord. Spirit of God, fall fresh now. Every single person, Lord, as we put our hands up, we thank you for a new robe, for a new seat. We clothe ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. We stand before you, Lord. We thank you that this is a new day. It's a new day. It's a new day. It's a new day. We cast off the garment of apathy. We cast it off. We cast off sluggishness, deceptions. We cast them off. We thank you for, Lord, a fire, a passion that sent you to us. We thank you, breathe that passion by the Spirit of God into each heart. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And as you go, Lord, I thank you. I want to thank the Lord for this. But as you go, I want to ask the continued cultivated work that whatever the winter chill was on your soul, that it's burned away.
Yes.
And there's a proclamation of new things, not just a springtime, but the setting of the sails in a brand new way in your life as the breath of God comes upon you. Praise you, Lord. Amen. Let's love on each other.
Amen.